The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's a brand new week of Need to Know. I'm Kip Kiefer, your host, and I appreciate all of you tuning in to listen to my perceptions, perspectives, and thoughts on everything happening all around us in this very extraordinary time in which we live. If you're new to the show, I like to introduce the format here as my general observations, and I'm a person that I don't like labels. I don't want to be considered anything that I'm not. Let's just say I'm an America first, and particularly Americans first, constitutionalist by nature. I'm not an avid conservative right-wing guy that gets attacked routinely with all of this administration's labels of all of the cult members, white supremacists, MAGA extremists, whatever they call it. I don't really know anybody that fits those descriptions, but I can tell you that I certainly don't. I like to look at every issue and form my opinion based on my thought process. I don't listen to media. I don't get influenced by anything other than my own research, my own thirst for knowledge, and that's how I roll. So I've got a couple quick headlines from last week with some brief perspectives. I say that a lot of times on this show, and I realize that I get into those kind of preliminary subjects, and next thing you know, I've almost used up all of my time. And very much appreciative of Tony Curry here on the TKR Network, who lets me ramble, but I'm going to try to keep this one in the parameters that are established, which is around a 30-minute podcast. So bear with me if I get off on the wrong track, because I have a couple of quick thoughts on some things that occurred in the past week since we last visited. And then I have a central theme that I really want to get to today that hopefully will give you some perspective to think about. So with that being said, last week in Washington, President Biden had his physical at Walter Reed Hospital and emerged from that with a statement from his doctor that said, Joe Biden is in tremendous shape. He's fit. He's healthy. He's, get ready for it, robust. Now, I don't know what your definition of robust is, but you have eyes and ears, and I know if you listen to this man and watch him shuffle around, robust is not a descriptive term that I think would come to mind. Now, let me say this. If you are new to the podcast, I have more respect for the office of the president than anybody you can name. I've been just fascinated by U.S. presidents and the enormity of the offices and the backgrounds of the people that have occupied the White House and Oval Office. I'm the kind of kid that in fourth or fifth grade, if I was just sitting around, would grab the encyclopedia and look up a president of the United States and read start to finish the five or six pages about their life, their background, how they found themselves as the leader of the free world. And it has been a lifelong subject of mine. So let me just say, I've had some feedback from people that think I'm too harsh about Joe Biden. But knowing what I know about the presidency and knowing about the history of our country and in particular our chief executives, I can tell you that Joe Biden is a poor example of a successful executive leader and president. And you have to point out these things if you are an American citizen, because that's what our country gives us the freedom to do. And if we all just sit back and accept the narrative, and just like I said, you have eyes and ears. I know you've had the same perceptions in a lot of ways that I have. The polls reflect that over 70% of Americans think Joe Biden is too old, and I don't use that. I think age is a relative term. I think the proper terminology would be Joe Biden has had significant mental and cognitive decline and is not suited to be president of the United States. But the doctor says otherwise, says he's in great shape, he's fit, he's robust, he's ready to go, and has all the capabilities necessary to be the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States. Well, I mean, that is a wonderful result for Joe Biden, reassuring everybody after Special Counsel Robert Hur declined to prosecute him on really serious, really heinous charges of possessing top secret classified documents. And the reason that he said he didn't think it was proper to charge Biden was because he has serious memory problems. He has clear cognitive decline, and he is a sympathetic figure that should not be tried on these charges because he is unable to comprehend the seriousness and defend himself. Now, who's right? A medical doctor who obviously is spinning things in Joe's direction, or the special counsel who had 6 hours of interviews and found him to be totally incompetent to even conduct a simple interview? It's really something else that, once again, if you missed last week's show, I pointed out that Joe Biden having secret classified documents is a very, very serious crime because Joe Biden has never had the clearance to possess those documents. And when I say that, keep in mind that a lot of the documents that were recovered from Joe Biden's garage, sitting out right in the middle of his garage a lot of days with the doors wide open, with Hunter Biden and James Biden, his son and brother respectively, doing international, quote, business, unquote, which is hilarious because they have no product or service to offer. But those documents from his Senate career and some from his vice presidential stint, sitting right out in the open for anyone to go and access and look at. Now, that sounds bad on its face, but once again, if you consider the fact that Joe Biden, not being president previously when he acquired these documents, and he says they were simply delivered to his house, well, first of all, that's absolutely absurd. That is not true. And the reason it's not true is because a staffer would never have the access to even view those kind of documents unless they had high security clearance. And if they did, they would have to steal the documents. They would have to stuff them in their pants or put them under their shirt or sneak them out of the highly secured what's called SCIF, the only place you can view classified documents if you're cleared to do so. And Joe Biden is included in that. So either his staff stole the documents at his behest or he took them himself. It is a serious, serious crime. President Trump, on the other hand, possessed classified top secret documents. But as the former president, he has every right to have those documents. He is not disqualified from taking documents from the White House and from secure locations. A senator and a vice president does not have that ability. But we can't try him on those charges because Joe Biden is incompetent mentally to be able to defend himself. But the doctor declares that he's perfectly healthy and robust and able to execute the duties of the leader of the free world. Period. That just doesn't make any sense, folks. I guess now, since he's got his note from his doctor, that the decision by the Department of Justice, because the ultimate decision is in the hands of Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, but he'll ignore that. He was glad that Hur found a way to suggest that Biden should not be tried, and that's the end of it, because Garland is on that far left all-star team and appointed Hur to find a reason not to prosecute Biden when they all knew that what he did was a serious, serious violation. So, you know, everybody's been running with the her doctrine that he is incompetent and should not be able to continue and also can't defend himself, but he's still the president and they're still running him for re-election. So very interesting developments there. It seems to me that if he's fit to be commander in chief and his doctor says he's so cognizant and robust, then it seems to me like Garland needs to reverse that decision by the special counsel and bring Joe Biden into trial for possessing illicitly, illegally, and totally improperly these sensitive, top-secret classified documents. So that's the one thing that I wanted to report on. The Democrat establishment, and I mentioned last week on the show that I think a charge by Kamala Harris is the first thing she's gotten right since she's been vice president when she said this is all a bunch of politically motivated rhetoric in the special counsel's report, seeming to indicate that Robert Hur is some kind of partisan Republican, which is absolutely laughable. Couldn't be further from the truth. Do you really think that Merrick Garland would appoint a Republican to investigate the president on this document situation? Yeah, I've got some really prime swampland in Florida, complete with a full supply of illegal pythons that have been released into that environment, and I can let it go for a real good bargain rate if you believe that particular situation. So Kamala comes along this week, and you can see the Democrats are already planting the seed. Yes, this was a politically motivated situation to mention that he's incompetent, but it wasn't placed by Republican operatives. This was a opening that would give Democrats some wiggle room if they decide that Joe Biden is hopelessly behind in the polls and things don't improve before the convention. It's one last lifeline to establish that in the record that he is incompetent and not capable of running for president and not certainly not competent enough to be the commander in chief. So I think it was politically motivated, but I think it was politically motivation by the left, a political motivation from the left, not from the right, to give themselves an escape clause if they need to dump Biden before the convention. So Kamala's this week, they're already gripping that perhaps Biden's going to have to be their nominee. It's not a good situation because of all of the perception Americans have. His polling numbers are just terrible on every major issue. He's way behind in the swing states that are going to determine the outcome of the election. And this week, Kamala Harris comes out, and one of the groups too they're behind, not only African American voters, which that he surrendered about 25 points in the polls to what he got in 2020, and also Hispanic voters, almost 35% of them say this time they'll vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden. But it's young people too, and that's the shocking group that are saying that they're leaning Trump by 7 or 8 points over Joe Biden. That's an absolute disaster that young voters are bailing ship. Now, you already have Biden doing things like appearing on TikTok, trying to do comedic things, these kind of skits and things. This is TikTok where he declared it was a national security issue just a year ago, and that TikTok should be removed from all social media platforms in this country and restricted to be on any kind of government device. Now he is about faced and is trying to kowtow to younger voters by appearing in these, I don't know what you call them, features on TikTok. It's absolutely ridiculous. Well, also, Kamala Harris announced this week, and again, this is a follow-up too to Biden's, all of a sudden, despite the Supreme Court saying that he can't be responsible, can't take responsibility and relieve a lot of college students, college graduates from student loan debt, He went ahead and did it anyway. In violation of the Supreme Court, they changed a few procedures in the White House, and now they're claiming that they have the legal right to do so. So all of these things are happening now to try and curry favor and get young people back on board on the Biden train. And it's so glaringly apparent and transparent of what's going on that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Well, here's the doozy this week. Kamala Harris announces that they have great concern for young people that are having problems finding a job. And they have a great new program that they're developing through some kind of government agency, which that's a surprise. We've only got about 10,000 of those. This government agency is going to make funding available to create jobs for young people. And these jobs will include active voter registration and the opportunity to be poll workers and observers on election days. Well, you know, she says, and remember, this is nonpartisan. Yeah, okay, I believe that. And once again, that swampland is still on sale. This is another blatant attempt, a desperate attempt to try and manipulate the system. This is what they do so well. They're concerned that even Joe, even with all of the twists and turns, the ballot harvesting, the multiple mail-in ballots, the extension on voting counts when all of a sudden counting stops until more ballots magically appear, all of these things, they're worried that Biden is getting so far down in the polls that they have to have more vehicles to be able to somehow drag this finish line closer to Biden, because he can't win on his own. And even with their previous shenanigans, it might not be enough. So what a wonderful program to come up with voter registration and ideas along those lines to help young people. And I'm sure they're going to be registering all kinds of young conservatives and at the polls where they're working and volunteering. I'm sure that there's going to be no bias whatsoever to serve the pleasure of their employers, which is this current administration and government. So those couple of preposterous things emerged this week. I wanted to talk about an interesting situation that I find extremely disturbing. And I'll mention on the top some cities around the country, and I'm not listing NFL franchise cities. There's a point to all this. Number one, let's talk about cities in California. Los Angeles, San Francisco. Move a little bit to the Midwest and go to Kansas City and jump up to Washington, D.C., New York, Atlanta, just to name a few off the top of my head. All of these cities have commonality. A couple of them have been in the news recently. Several of them are in the news just about every day. But cities that you really don't expect, Kansas City and Atlanta. In Kansas City, 2 weeks ago, the Kansas City Chiefs victory parade after winning the Super Bowl was marred by a shooting incident where a couple of teenage and young adults got into a beef on the street. Apparently, they were some kind of rivals or had some kind of problem. And next thing you know, right in the middle of a big crowd, the parade had just gone by that point, these guys got in an argument and broke out their handguns and started firing around. And 23 people, including 9 children, were hit in that melee. And one lady, a disc jockey in Kansas City, a popular personality, Lisa Lopez, was shot and killed in this ridiculous Wild West shootout between these young combatants. In Atlanta, on Saturday of this past weekend, in Atlanta, Six Flags opened their brand new season. Six Flags, of course, has been there now for about 40 years. It's a major theme park, and it was a big deal. It's been refurbished again, and a lot of excitement surrounding that. Well, as people started to gather for the gate opening, a gunfire broke out, same kind of situation, another gang or rival situation. These guys get in a shootout, 2 people killed. Folks, Come on, let's look at New York and Washington. Washington carjackings are up 48% over the last 2 years. You really can't go out and get in your car. You better be prepared to be accosted by somebody who's going to threaten you at gunpoint, maybe shoot you and take your car. In New York, we know what a three-ring circus it is. And all of these places with all of these problems, San Francisco, Good Morning America last year was going to do a report in front of a municipal building and part of their show. They had to move because the harassment and the presence of so many homeless people, hostile, on drugs, trying to take equipment and rob personnel. They had to bail out and go back somewhere into its antiseptic studio to get away from the battle zone. The bottom line is all of these cities, let's connect the dots. What do they all have in common? Left-wing progressive leadership. And I, if you have a functioning brain, if you live anywhere, any metro area with this kind of problems, and again, this is not a Republican-Democrat issue. This is leftist progressives. These are people that believe that the criminals are as big, if not bigger, victims than the people they prey upon because they've had difficult circumstances and because they have no choice. So there's no repercussions for crimes. It's just a free-for-all now. If you're arrested, you're out on the street the next day. I mentioned all those big cities. Let's look at Athens, Georgia. Why was the Venezuelan illegal migrant that has been released from jail at least three times that we know of and also strolled in the border despite a really bad record of criminal behavior? What was he doing in Athens, Georgia, where he happened to encounter in a crime of opportunity? He took that opportunity to take away the opportunity for a young 22-year-old Lakin Riley to have a life. Bashed her head in with a blunt object, killed her, and in Athens, Georgia, but what's the commonality? Athens, Georgia has a left-wing Democrat progressive, we need to be compassionate to our immigrants, they call them. Now they're even calling them newcomers. That's the word that emerged this week. Folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, again, it doesn't take geniuses. It's easy to compute this particular equation. And the bottom line is, in cities where there's lawlessness, where there's a complete lack of commitment to make the streets safe for citizens, look what happened in San Francisco with all the homeless people, all the drug abuse on the streets, all the defecation on the sidewalks, an absolute hellhole. But in the course of about 2 weeks, they got it all cleaned up. They moved all the migrants out of the downtown area. And what did they do that for? The citizens of San Francisco so they could have their city back? No, they did it for the communist dictator, President Xi from China, because he was coming to San Francisco for an economic forum. And, you know, that's the priority. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the American citizens. We're going to make this big effort to impress a communist dictator who is methodically trying to upset the apple cart of our way of life and to try to muscle in, let's call it, on American resources and wealth and strength. This country is not our ally. They are our enemy. They are our competitor. And it's absolutely unconscionable that the city of San Francisco cleans up their problems, which shows that it can be done. That's the thing that I'm trying to make the point here. They made that effort and certainly transformed the city for President Xi's visit. As soon as he left town, right back to normal. Everybody came back. The people are all over the streets again. The crime is rampant. People are being robbed. Drug abuse in full view of women, children, everybody walking the streets. Everybody's endangered. It's the same thing every time. Chicago's got the highest per capita murder rate in the country. Lori Lightfoot, the previous mayor, was voted out of office. But who did they replace her with? Brandon Johnson, who is more leftist, more progressive than Lightfoot even was. What are these people thinking? Make the connection. If you've got leadership that is weak and you've got leadership that is compromising your ability to safety and security, get them the hell out of office. The ballot box is the place to do it. I don't care if your family has always voted Democrat. These people aren't Democrats. These people are Marxists. These people are leftist progressives who don't believe in the American system, who don't care about the American people. It's time for all of these cities to come to their senses. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what politics you have. If you have a weak leader who is causing your city to go to hell, you need to get them out of office. Your power is at the ballot box. That's what our system is devised to do. It's not about partisanship. It is about common sense. And that's what I have to say this week. I'm Kip Kiefer, back with you again next week. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to Need to Know. Don't forget, Kiefer and Curry will be along this week with a brand new episode. And who knows what we're going to talk about. It's like Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. And we've had a great series of shows lately on our television program here in Birmingham and throughout most of Alabama. The program is The Starting Lineup, Saturday mornings, 10:30 on ABC 3340, and do not miss it. I'm going to be out of town this week and not able to host the show, but reportedly, tentatively, the guest lined up for Tony Curry, the legend, is Paul Feinbaum, the now nationally renowned TV personality, former great writer, Paul Feinbaum, on The Starting Lineup this Saturday at 10:30. That's it for this week. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Welcome to March. I'm Kip Kiefer. We will see you next week on Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.